Today. It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A vote in the state Senate last month tanked a deal to use Wisconsin's budget surplus for tax refunds, special education funding, and more.
That proposal was negotiated by Democratic Governor Tony Evers and Republican legislative leaders, but the bipartisan plan met bipartisan opposition as all Senate Democrats and three Senate Republicans rejected the plan.
Now, the top Republican in the state assembly wants to bring some kind of deal back to the table.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss joins us now. Speaker Voss, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on. Good morning.
Earlier this week, you told Upfront, Speaker Voss, that you want to work with Governor Evers on a revised plan. What are you hoping to accomplish?
Well, number one, I think that, Wisconsinites are so divided like much of the country. Anytime that you get 80% of the people agreeing on something, we should at least give it our full-throated effort to try to find a consensus that everybody can live with. So here we sit in Wisconsin. Look, we have concerns about school funding. We know property taxes are too high, and we certainly need to do more to help people deal with the ravages of inflation, right? So when a Democrat governor and a Republican legislature negotiate in good faith, it should have been something that everybody just signed off on, saying, wow, I can't believe the two sides who normally don't get along very well are showing leadership. And that's why I guess I'm an optimist that people in Wisconsin want us to do something. They don't want us to just sit back, leave the money in Madison, where we certainly aren't going to do any good for the state. So, look, if there are other ideas, I am all aboard. Look, I was disappointed that our Senate Democrat colleagues didn't even offer an amendment. They didn't say, here's a way to make the deal better. Here's what we can do to try to showcase that they're willing to lead as well. So I want to give them another chance. Look, they had said they were concerned about the deficit. We now know some of their initial concerns really weren't well taken. We know that the deficit that would be projected is way lower than the one that we voted for last year. And we've had two increases in revenue, one $1.5 billion in January because of the growing economy, and the second another $300 million increase just from where our baseline was. So even by investing the surplus in the no tax on tips and overtime, more funding for special education and property tax relief, we still have a sizable surplus going forward. And that's where we should all be proud that we can come back together and figure it out.
That 80% you mentioned, the results of a Marquette University Law School survey. Now, getting this back on the table would be the challenge for you at this time. Have you heard from the governor? Is he open to going back to the table on this?
Yeah, it sounds like the governor is willing to work with us again. I know I talked to the legislative leadership in the assembly, and I've reached out to those colleagues in the state Senate to say, let's come back to the table. Look, we are all paid to do our job through the end of the year. There is no reason that we don't come back and try to deal with this surplus in June. Look, school starts in the fall. We know people are going to be setting their property tax bills, and we can deliver significant relief before we adjourn the legislative session. So, in my mind, again, no reason not to, especially with this newfound money. We need to get it back to the people.
A big stumbling block, though, is the Senate would have to come back and do this. Senate Minority Leader Democrat Dianne Hesselbein said she talked to your colleague, your counterpart in the Senate, Senator Devin Lemieux. She says she's not hearing a lot of signs that this would come back, that they're going to come back and vote on anything. What would you say to your colleagues, your Republican colleagues in the Senate, to get them to come back into session and tackle something here?
Well, first of all, I've been talking to senators, Republican senators. They agree we should come back, that there's no reason that we let this money sit in Madison when families and school districts need it. So I think the consensus sometimes takes a little longer to generate in the state Senate than it does in the state assembly. But I guess I'm an eternal optimist. This is one of those rare times, again, where both sides came together, they negotiated in good faith, we have a package that the public supports, and we need to show the people of Wisconsin that when times are tough, people step up to actually get the job done. We've done it a lot in the past, and I am confident we can find a way to get it done this summer.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is with us. He's making a last-ditch effort to pass a plan to use the state's budget surplus for tax cuts and school funding, among other things. Last week, Speaker Voss, I talked to State Senator Chris Kapinga, one of the Republicans who voted against the plan. Here's some of what he had to say.
Eventually, actually in the second budget cycle, all of a sudden, the taxpayer in this deal, because there's perpetual spending put in place, would all of a sudden have to be going to their pocketbook again and be like, wait a minute, I thought this was a great thing because it gave me a bonus. I got cash in my hand, and all of a sudden the cash is gone, and they have to continue to pay this bill.
So Senator Kapica saying, hey, this is perpetual funding based on a one-time surplus. You said the deficit numbers weren't as bad as critics made out. What would you say to Senator Kapica and his two colleagues who voted against this?
Well, it's really disappointing because I thought Senator Kapica was smarter than what he's sounding like in these interviews, because we know that we do a two-year budget cycle where we do projections of revenue and projections of expenditures. The expenditures have basically been in line, and the revenues have been ahead of our projections. So why would we want to keep that money in Madison when we have the opportunity to give back extra money that we do not need back to the taxpayers? Number two, the relief that he's talking about, the reason we want it to be permanent is because if somebody earns overtime or tips or they want property tax relief, we don't want it to be one time, because that property tax bill or their income tax bill is forever. So why would we not want to find a way to have permanent tax relief that, again, keeps the money out of Madison so we don't spend it on growing government and lets people keep it in more of their pockets? I thought Senator Kapica was a Republican, and that's the basics of what we do as Republicans, which is to try to make government more efficient, drive efficiencies into the system, so at the same time we can give the money back to the taxpayers. That's why I ran for office. I think it's most Republicans. That's why we're there.
Would you be open to changing the deal to make it more focused on that, the one-time stuff, less ongoing things, to get those votes you need to get this over the top in the Senate?
I mean, I'm always open to listening to good ideas, so if they have a way to do it, of course we're willing to listen. But again, the idea of saying we're going to have ongoing spending, which is really what is required. So if you have special ed, as an example, where we would take it to the highest level, in Wisconsin history, well, if we're going to do that, we're not going to do it one time and then cut it back later. So if we're going to have spending built in, which it should be to help school districts with the increasing cost of special ed, I don't want to say that the tax cuts are one time so that we have permanent spending on schools but not permanent relief for families. So, yeah, I mean, I'm always open to listening, but it seems like the deal that we had, which was fiscally responsible, balancing the needs of school districts and taxpayers, is a pretty darn good one. I haven't really heard anybody make a case why it shouldn't be permanent, knowing that our revenues are increasing, we have a sizable surplus, and the needs are real.
Now, Senator Kapica, I've heard this from other lawmakers, Speaker Voss, also questioned the process here. The sense was, hey, the governor and the leadership in both chambers met up. They came up with this deal, came to the rank and file and said, here's the deal, take it or leave it. They wanted more input. They wanted more back and forth on this. What do you say to those concerns?
I mean, Senator Kapica spends a lot of time out of state, so perhaps he wasn't at some of the caucuses that they had. But I know Senator Lemieux came to us and said he had been working with his caucus. I had worked with our caucus in the assembly. That's why I think everybody but one member voted for it, because they knew it was in the deal. They knew it was a good deal for taxpayers, and it was important to make some of these strategic investments. I believe they had the exact same conversations in the state Senate. So if he didn't know what was going on, that's because he chose not to attend a caucus or get involved in the process. That's not a fault of Senator Lemieux or anybody in the state Senate. It's individual members who did a good job, I think, of communicating where they were. The three members who voted no said they had to have a sizable rebate in order to support the deal. That's why we actually put that $300 and $600 rebate for individuals and couples into the bill, to be able to say, hey, we listened to what they wanted, and then ultimately they kind of reneged on the deal. I don't know why they would have.
Now, you're not running for re-election. Neither is Senator Devin Lemieux, your counterpart in the Senate. Neither is Governor Evers. Now, an uncharitable observer might say, hey, these guys want to go out on a high note. They'll be out of office before the financial impact hits the state, especially if there's an economic downturn. Those revenues aren't as rosy. We might regret some of this spending. Do you feel like this plan is really a fiscally responsible way to wrap up your career as Speaker?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I am proud of the fact that when we inherited the majority, we had massive deficits, no money in the rainy day fund, and, you know, literally a fiscal crisis in the state. We've solved that, and now every session that we've been in charge, we've been able to reduce the tax burden because these surpluses keep piling up because of prudent, fiscal, responsible leadership. There's no reason not to. And I think the last thing that's most important is most of the people who voted for this deal, you know, in the assembly, it was Democrats and Republicans. Most of them are running for reelection. They wouldn't have done it if they thought it was a stupid idea. In the state Senate, the only people who really voted no were two people not running for reelection who've been a no pretty much on everything in their entire career, and Senate Democrats who cynically want to use it to spend on growing government next time. I think this is a perfect opportunity for us to say, let's strike a middle-of-the-road deal. Money for schools, money for taxpayers, all out of the surplus, so we can show that Wisconsin actually works and that we can find a way to get to yes, as opposed to just what people are sick of, which is politicians posing for holy pictures and getting nothing done for real people.
One critic of the plan was U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany, the only candidate on the ballot for governor for Republicans. The hope there, I might think, like with a Republican governor, maybe you can get a better deal for this. Do you think that Republicans should hold off, hope they win that governor's office and get a deal more to their liking?
No, I mean, the people don't say, let's wait around and see what happens later. I mean, I understand Tom Tiffany's point that when he's governor, we're going to do it differently. But Tony Evers is governor for the next 6 months, and the legislature that we have is the one that generated the surplus. So we certainly should try to get it back to the taxpayers as quickly as we can. Look, when Tom Tiffany's governor, and God willing, we have a Republican legislature, they can sit and figure out other ways to give the money back to the taxpayers. And I'm sure I would support every one of them if I was in the legislature. But people don't want us sitting on the money and waiting for a future time to cut taxes. They need help now. Look at the price of gas. Luckily, it's coming down a little, but it's expensive for families. We see the cost of food and rent and property taxes. All of those are a burden now that we want to help with the surplus that's been generated over the last couple years, not waiting for a hope that something's going to be different next time around.
In our last 20 seconds, it's an election year. It's June. Is it realistically too late to accomplish anything at this point?
You know what? It's never too late if people of goodwill want to sit at the table and find a way to get to yes. My hope is that, like we've done in the past, we sit around a table, we find an answer, we keep our colleagues engaged, and we're able to get it across the finish line. We've done it before. We can do it again.
Speaker Voss, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
That's Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republican from Rochester, talking about the possibility of reviving a plan to use Wisconsin's budget surplus for things like tax cuts and school funding.